Colossians 1, 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the world, in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy and inspired word. We find that in life things go round and round in cycles. In the family, for example, at least from the pastor's point of view, we see children born, we baptize them, they join the church and become communing members, we officiate their weddings, and they have children who are then baptized, join the church, and are married. And then there's a solemn funeral or two for the older generation as their descendants continue to be born, baptized, join the church, and so forth. And it is a glorious thing. And then, of course, there are the cycles of the seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, and then spring again. And cycles, they occur all through society and nature. And they even occur in the spiritual realm. For we see the gospel of Jesus Christ is also in a cyclic form. In Colossians 1, 1 through 8, the Apostle Paul, he refers to the cycle of the gospel as consisting of hope, faith, love, and bearing fruit, leading to hope, faith, love, and bearing fruit, and so on. And there is a certain simplicity to this cycle of the gospel, a purity of form. Yet, in our response to the gospel, do we maintain this simplicity? Unfortunately, we so often spoil the cycle, making it needlessly, vainly complicated. And it's a common error to look towards our own self-sufficiency, our works, rituals that we participate in, and even some form of special knowledge that we might acquire. We look towards such things to attempt to make ourselves really saved, or at least to feel that way. And yet this misplaced confidence spoils the simplicity and the purity of the gospel. For trusting in anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ for salvation is outside the cycle of the gospel and is something else entirely, something not Christian. So how do we avoid this error? Well, let's look at what Paul has to say about it. In verse 7 here of Colossians 1, Paul mentions this gentleman named Epaphras. And Epaphras is described as a fellow servant with Paul and a faithful minister of Christ. And we see by his actions that he was an evangelist. He was the man who had brought the gospel message to Colossae, which led to the establishment of the church in that town. And due to Epaphras' preaching, many of the Colossians heard and understood the message of the gospel, which led to their hope in Jesus Christ. And so the cycle starts, a beginning that really is just a continuation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And from hearing comes understanding. Jesus is our only hope. And the sin of the repentant believer in Jesus Christ no longer separates the believer from God. Jesus took the punishment for the sins of all who believe upon himself on the cross. And God's wrath, which everyone deserves due to Our sin was satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice. And so now whoever believes in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, is forgiven all of his or her sins, made holy, adopted as a child of God. And with such an understanding, hope sprouts forth. Could this wonderful blessing be for me? And so it blooms into full faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, it is for me. I believe. And in this faith and hope, we follow the call of the Lord Jesus in denial of self, you know, fully trusting and confident in his lead to wherever it is that he leads. And we know that at the end, in death, because we are his people, saved by grace, we will find glory and resurrection when Christ comes bringing his kingdom, receiving eternal life to be lived out in glorious paradise. Verses 4 through 6 express this cycle. So take a look there again. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Can we ever be secure in our salvation if we base our hope on whether or not we have done enough good deeds? Or if we base our hope on teachings that are outside of the gospel of truth that are revealed in the Bible? Well, no, of course not. Galatians 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. We need the right hope. When we put our faith and our trust in Christ, hoping in him, it is not a wish like what we might whisper for when we drop a coin into a fountain. Rather, true hope in Jesus Christ consists of a confident knowledge and certainty that the gospel that you've heard and believe is true and can be relied upon. And this hope, in other words, the reality in which you've put your hope is, as verse 5 says, stored up in heaven. Our salvation is in the safest place that can be, that can exist. It is not something that relies upon you for security. Rather, our hope is in and with God, kept by God, and secure in God. It is he that established the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He puts his stamp and his seal upon it, and nothing can ever change it or invalidate it. And so our faith is put in a secure hope, faith in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. It is through our faith in Christ that we are saved. Salvation does not come through religious rituals and trappings. Salvation is not achieved by living a life full of good works, and there is nothing that we can do to somehow make us more saved. Salvation is God's gift to us, which we receive through faith. It is complete in Christ. And so the wheel turns as the cycle continues with love. Out of sheer gratitude manifested by experiencing the grace and the love of God, we fall in love with Christ. And as this love is a supernatural love, with Christ at its center, there is a supernatural result. As this love is from Christ, we can in turn love our brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And such love identifies us as being true Christians. And Jesus himself tells us this, John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Hence, Paul here in Colossians 1, verse 4 and verse 8, he speaks of the Colossians' love for all the saints and love in the Spirit as an important characteristic that they possess and exhibit before the world, which was described to him by Epaphras. And this love was a confirmation of the reality of their experience of God's grace, of their faith. And such love born of God is a gift of the Spirit, and he manifests it in his people. So as a result of this love, we bear fruit, Colossians 1, verse 6. As indeed in the whole world, it, the gospel, is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Does this phrase, bearing fruit, does that ring a bell for you? I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And living the Christian life full of the fruit of the Spirit, it is a witness for Christ. It is a verification of the message of the gospel of truth, which we are commanded by Christ to share with others. And this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, following Christ in righteousness, this serves as a confirmation as to the veracity of the message of the gospel that we proclaim. And so as the gospel bears fruit in our lives, the cycle goes through another term. As we proclaim it, people hear and understand. They find hope, faith, love, leading to more fruit, and so on, bearing fruit and growing with more and more people continuously coming to salvation. So, are you caught up in the cycle of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you caught up in it? Perhaps you can remember the Epaphras, the evangelist in your life, or perhaps you don't remember. Maybe it was just too long ago. Or you heard the gospel message from the time that you were very small, and you honestly can't remember when that moment was that you first believed or who shared it with you, but you just really don't remember a time in your life when you didn't trust in Jesus as your Savior. What a great blessing that is, and something that so many of our covenant children have. No matter, remembering the person that first shared the gospel with you when you heard and believed, or, you know, that does not make you any more or less saved than anybody else. It doesn't make it any less real. It is in Jesus Christ that you have put your faith. It is not in the evangelist that you put your faith. It is in Jesus Christ. And although some of you may remember that person distinctly, you may have it marked on your calendar, even the date and time. I know some people have that. I don't, but that's a blessing if you do. What a wondrous thing. But you don't have to have that for your faith to surely be known to be real. You don't have to have that. But wherever you are in this cycle, I encourage you to reflect upon the cycle of the gospel in your life. Do you recognize it? Do you recognize the cycle? For example, has your faith blossomed into the fruit of the Spirit? Even as a work of progress, a work of the Spirit. And do you see it expressed in your life? Do you see it expressed in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Be honest. You know, perhaps it is clear to you and others that this fruit has manifested in your life. And it's a testimony to your faith in Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful blessing it is, if that's so. And praise God for it. However, the fruit of the gospel in your life may not be so evident. even plainly absent. Now, if you honestly don't see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, perhaps it's because you've put your hope in something else, something that is not the gospel. So then perhaps you never truly enter the cycle of the gospel. It could be that you have been misled by false teachings, teachings that say you have to work hard doing good deeds to really be saved, or you have to do this or that religious ritual to be saved. You have to know something more than just the simple message of salvation that is revealed to us in the Bible. Or maybe you just misunderstood. And so you rely on something other than Jesus Christ for salvation, rather than fully trusting in Christ and resting in His finished work. For hope in the wrong thing is really no hope at all. Trust in Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. The cycle of the gospel, a wheel that turns at the proclamation of the gospel, the understanding of the message, the hope that sprouts forth, the faith that blooms with sure repentance and our following after the Lord Jesus in obedience of faith, the love that characterizes our lives, and all the fruit given to us by the Spirit of God, which leads to the proclamation of the gospel, and so on. The cycle is so simple. Yet in the cycle of the gospel, there is salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Where are you in the cycle? Where are you in the cycle? And since our only true hope is in Jesus Christ, we must ensure that our trust is in Him.